Welcome back to the Vinland Chronicles, a Vinland Saga podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Chad.
Hi, I'm one of your hosts, Ronnie.
And today we're covering Season 2, Episode 5, Path of Blood. Ronald, what do you think about the episode?
Path of Blood, you know me, I keep it real, Chad. I believe this to be the weakest episode thus far of the season.
I would agree.
Thank you for agreeing with me. And it's not... I got some thoughts here. Let me get my notes up, because I was getting the episode up as well. It's because a lot of it relied on emotion that they were trying to make me feel that had to do with kind of like this Ethelred character. But the problem, Chad, we don't know this Ethelred character. Is that how you say it? How you've been saying it? We never say it the same way.
I don't know.
Okay. Did you have a way that you were going to come in and say it?
I guess I would have said Ethelred. I was just going to wait till I got to the word to actually pronounce it.
Okay. A little on-the-spot action. Mm-hmm. I like that. No, because the whole time I was just like, all right, I see what we're doing. There's two kings and everything. By the end, we end in a good spot. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Because they're all dead, and you go, okay, this was kind of Canute's final push for power. He's kind of been doing a struggle.
Yeah.
We're skipping over the struggle, and now he's just the guy.
Yeah, I see... I understand where it comes from. It's almost one of those where you're like, oh, I could have almost done away with some of this, but at the same time, it wouldn't necessarily be a good thing to just see Canute all of a sudden the king without any problems at all.
It was like one, because they had already done a really good job, I thought, of kind of developing Canute the last few episodes of season one to be like, all right, this guy's making a push to be king. He can be a good king, or he can be, you know, now it's almost getting a little nerve-wracky. Because he's making so many big play moves, you go, okay, is he going to be a good king? Or is he getting a little power hungry? And I'm sure we'll talk about that a little more in season two. But yeah, it was like one more little piece where they go, all right, we got him this far. This is one last episode to show how far he's willing to go to be the king.
Right. And like you said, we end in a good spot because now he is officially the king.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to get right into it.
Let's do it.
So... we're here with King Canute, well, I say king, soon-to-be King Canute, who is marching along with his army.
Yeah, this is one of those classic cases. So you didn't watch Game of Thrones. I'll give you a little background here. What we've got is a two-king system where...
does not work, right?
You know, when you got two kings, it's kind of like when you got two quarterbacks. People say you don't have one quarterback. Same thing with kings. When you got two kings, do you even have one? No, because you're so divided. You got these people calling them... in Game of Thrones, at one point, there were five kings. It was ridiculous. You got different people going, oh.
Five.
They go, oh, my grace? And it's like, none of you. There's one king.
How many of them were like, you've got no chance of being the king?
I'll say there was probably...
like, was there... I'm assuming there was two that had a very good shot. The rest were just like, ah.
There were two that you didn't really take seriously.
Okay.
The other three, you're like, well... all right, let's see. Some people might even argue four. God, that show and books were so good, and then they just pooped on it. But let's keep moving on.
Well, the last book's coming out any
time. It's coming out any day now.
It's coming
soon. He's typing it, crazy.
George Orwell with the last book coming soon. And I know that's not his name, but I forgot his last name, so I called him George Orwell.
People should all forget his name because he started something he couldn't finish.
But he's so fucking old, he might as well be George Orwell. So Canute thinks back to the day his father was slain, and we go through the whole Ascalad spiel again. This was nice to see. Anytime Ascalad is on the screen, I don't care if it's a random flashback or not, I love seeing it.
I agree.
We see, you know, the chopping of his father's head, the lopping of his head off, and this is when I realized, you know, he did not like his father. His father obviously did not like him, but that's still traumatic to see that happen.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Because he just found out, like, not that long ago that his father didn't like him.
Didn't like him, but then at the same time, it's like, okay, it's probably, there's multiple layers to this. One, you see any guy get beheaded, probably going to stay with you for a little bit, you know? Second, he is the king, so that's going to stick with you as well. Third, it's also your father. So, yeah. A lot of things at play.
I think I'd be spooked by any head getting lopped off, but if I was standing right here and your head just fell off, like really, in this podcasting room, it just decided to fall off,
mm-hmm.
I think that would spook me out a little bit more than seeing like a random Joe Schmo on the streets.
Yeah, it's weird because the head chopped off, like a beheading itself, it's not as gory as some things that could happen. You know, if my entrails just started sprawling across the floor. Yeah. But it's still like one of those things where you see it, you go, "What?" I feel like it hits you a second time. Where you see it, you go, "Whoa!" And then you go, oh, okay, that guy's dead just like that.
Yeah, because then people could pick up your head and just start like...
If they cleaned up the blood, you'd be like, well, can we glue it back on?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a clean cut.
That's not possible, is it?
I don't think so. I don't think you can like hook anything back up.
But yeah, you can tell that was a traumatic experience for him. But Canute, he's now leading these people.
He's now leading these people. It's amazing to see how much you can stop looking like a girl if you just add one scar. That's helping
add him. Add a scar and start acting not like a girl for a year or two.
Yeah, the hair is different. He goes through... I think he has a few different haircuts this episode. None of them what I would consider good. And then at one point, he really is embracing his inner Armin.
Do they
Arlert.
Just use swords to cut their hair? How do they cut their hair?
First of all, a sword would be ridiculous when you've got at least a dagger. You know what I mean?
But how would you cut your hair in this time?
Don't do a 6-foot long sword to cut your hair.
Okay.
I mean, like probably like a razor blade. You know, like an old fashioned. They probably have like a little piece of steel. I mean, come on. They can make spears, swords. They've got all that. You don't think they can make a little blade?
So you think he lays that long hair down on the mat and somebody just...
No, your mom's literally a hairstylist. How you can't envision this? It kind of
those are scissors,
mind.
Ronnie.
I know, but you know, it's like a little, you know, like an old school barber shop where they do your beard.
Yeah,
with like the straight razor. They've got you could do that with hair, where you just kind of you get a little bit at a time. You kind of do quick chopping motions. Mm. You got a sharp blade; that stuff will fall off. That's why back in the day, you know, they had a lot of choppy haircuts.
Yeah, like ridiculous looking haircuts.
Right. Now, yeah. Canute finds a way to get some of the most ridiculous ones, but yes.
Yeah, he's riding a horse. They're on the march. And we find out with the death of King Swain, the Denmark situation has like completely changed in their control of England. Like you said, now there's like a little two-king system here. A guy that... His name, Ethelred, I believe is what you said.
That's what I was going with. I don't know. Who am I?
He returned from his exile to Normandy and was reinstated. Basically, he had tried to escape, right? It says he was exiled, but then you come to find out that he was kind of just like ran away.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out, and that's where part of this episode has issues is because they kind of throw that in there, and then you listen to it, and you go, okay, but I still don't understand why people would be on his side. How does he have people going, okay, yeah, we'll be with him?
The only thing I can think of is that, like, literally people, first off, didn't really like King Swain, but the fact that he died, they're like, oh, this is our chance to just have someone else. And that guy must have just been a prominent figure in England, so they just propped him up. And basically, more so just opposing the new rule than actually liking King Ethelred.
Yeah, but that's the other thing, is I always kind of felt like people liked King Swain in the sense of when we were with all those lords in like that meeting hall, there was no whispering of like, oh god, we got to get rid of this guy, or oh, he's driving us into the ground. They all kind of seemed on board. So then it's like,
Then they liked King Swain, but since he died, they're like, well, we don't trust whoever's going to succeed him.
And I mean, I get that too, but then Canute was pretty badass, so you think rumor would spread, like, okay, yeah, we kind of thought that Canute kid sucked, but...
He's got a cool-looking scar on his
like
face.
Like, he kind of made a... He picked up the sword, he made a pretty cool speech, he killed the guy who killed his dad, Thorkell's on his side, but no.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe... Interesting. Yeah, they don't really go that deep into it. It's kind of just...
Other thing I want to talk about, with your longer hair, one thing I do like about Canute is his, like, fancy headband. You should get one of those headbands.
You want me to just start rocking a headband everywhere I go?
Yeah, but it's not... That's the thing. It's not just a headband. It's a fancy one where it's, like, almost made out of metal, and it's, like, bejeweled. You need a bejeweled headband. just walk into work one day with one of those guys.
I seriously, if you can find me one, I don't know where they even have
just like
this.
Encrusted rubies in a being held together by an intricate chain.
I need that. I actually do need that.
I'll start shopping for you.
So we then see that Ethelred almost got poisoned.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, do we even know who did this? Are they implying that Canute initially tried this?
It's got to be. Because the fact that he's going to successfully do it two times later means that he found a sweet spot that he likes and he's going to keep hitting it up. Unless, I mean, it is, now that you mention it, it is open for like an interesting storytelling perspective where it's like, oh, actually all this poisoning is coming from somewhere else.
Right, because later on, Canute does do it, but we didn't, well, maybe it is implying like, oh.
I think he kind of, you know, found his poison and stuck with it, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, he found somebody close enough to him that the guy would never suspect.
He picked his poison.
It'd be like me with you. Like if somebody was trying to poison you.
Okay.
If the best solution would get me to do it because you wouldn't suspect me to do it. Right?
Right.
Like you might suspect somebody from work to do it because, you know, you're not the nicest person to a lot of the people at work.
I mean, it is crazy to think like how easily we could be poisoned.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God we're not kings. We have to like think about that.
Dude, think about how insane that is, bro.
The amount of liquids that you consume in a day, I would have, let me count real quick, 137 different opportunities to poison you.
The only problem nowadays is it's way harder to get away with it just because they check like autopsies and stuff in the toxicology report. Like they can literally find every ounce of it. So if you poison too much, you're almost... Sorry, guys. Ronnie just tried to take a sip of water, and none of it went in his mouth. It just all went down his...
Let me tell you what happened there. One, all that poison talk was making me thirsty. I needed to take a drink. Second of all, see this hydro flask? It's a 32-ouncer, and you know I'm a well-hydrated guy. So what I usually do, I drink about at least half of it to the full thing before lunch. I fill it up again after lunch, or before lunch.
Yeah.
And then I drink that, fill it up one more time. Okay. Then by the time I get home, it's usually like half full, and then I switch water bottles when I get home. Today I stayed with this one, refilled it a third time, was not ready for it to be that full.
Thought it was half full.
Spilled it all over me, so I'm wet now, but that's okay.
I know how to poison you now, but what were we saying about poison? Oh, poison. Yeah. It's hard to get away with it, man. You've got to do very trace amounts. You've got to do it through a span of about 2 years. They're going to gradually get sick. They're going to go to the hospital and stuff. Hopefully, they don't get sick enough to where they do think, oh, well, maybe this is poison. Hopefully, it's one of those things where it's like, well, you know, with modern day, you know, toxic stuff and all of our supply, maybe that's just what it is.
Modern day toxic stuff, yeah.
Like, maybe it's just like you've been drinking too much plastic water bottles.
Well, I still feel like, as far as if you don't want to get caught, it's still one of the top ways to go if you can get your hands on it, right? Like, what else is better?
I think it's one of the only ways to go.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You got to, unless you want to, you could alter, like, their tire and hope that they run smack into a tree or something.
I mean, like, as long as you put the drugs in out of sight from people and cameras, you're golden, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you would just have to, yeah. I think if you do it without cameras and stuff like that, you could get away with it. But you just got to make sure you don't have any traces of it, like on your clothing.
Yeah, well, I'm not swimming at the stuff. I promise you that right now.
What were we talking about? Vinland Saga. Let's see.
Here, I'll get us on track again. Frickin' Egnar. What is this guy's name?
Oh, yeah, Gunner.
Gunner. Yeah, he's with him.
Still with him. That scumbag is with him, even though he knows he was a traitor.
I know. That's what blew my mind, is I'm figuring that he had to keep him around for like political reasons, but his eyes constantly on him.
Yeah.
Because Askeladd gave him that news, gave him that information before he went crazy.
Yeah.
So I think Canute would be smart enough to still use that to his advantage.
Yeah, it was literally the night before Askeladd died. I mean, this guy just look physiognomy checks out, man. That's all you got to do is look at this fella and be like, okay, he's a scum. He's a traitor.
Well, yeah, which means it does not check out.
Yeah, I just meant it always is right every time. You can look at somebody and then just tell, okay, yeah, they're going to...
Physiognomy, that is.
Physiognomy, yeah, yeah.
Once again, and we don't like throwing around these fancy words, if you're still kind of newer to the podcast, physiognomy is the art of judging someone purely based off their physical appearance.
Yep, physical appearance, physical traits, mannerisms, yep. And this guy... does it not check out?
People say don't judge a book by its cover. It's like what we judge books by, like 80% of them.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what our new thing for most characters we come across. We're gonna either say physiognomy checks out or physiognomy does not check out.
That's a great segment. We'll add to the podcast. Okay.
So Canute, we're in Mercia, and it looks like war. It's the aftermath of war. It's a bunch of wreckage. Canute says that he forbade collecting women and selling them, but as you can see, that's exactly what the men are doing around here. So he tells Gunnar to behead the men and display them for everyone to see.
And he makes quite a face. And it's
because what is this guy going to do?
And it's pretty bitch. He acts like this is going to be a real detriment to him. And then he goes like this. He goes, "Hey, you. Go behead everyone."
Yeah.
You're not even the one that's got to break the bad news. You break the bad news to one guy, that other guy's going to be the one to like go behead people. So shut up. Get off your high horse. Literally, you should be walking, not riding a horse.
I know. If that guy tried to behead me, though, Gunner, I would just laugh in his face and just say, "Physiognomy does not check out."
Yeah. Yeah, as you're on your knees and a guy's getting ready to swing his sword at your neck. That's your last words.
Yeah, what shit last words. We meet up with Floki, who still just seems like a... The thing with Floki is...
I got an opinion.
He's kind of a snake.
Yeah.
But he's very good. I mean, very good at just keeping calm and almost... I don't even know how to explain it. What is like the way he does it?
He's very by the books.
He's very by the books, and he does, yeah, he doesn't let emotions get the best of him.
He is the guy who's going to tell his kids when they, like, get older, "Well, yeah, son, you know, you got to work 70 hours and do exactly what your boss tells you, because that's just the way the world works."
Right.
That's what he's going to say. He's going to, "Well, yeah." He's like, "I know you've been there 5 years. They've given you 50 cents worth of raises, but you just got to put in the work. You got to keep doing it." And because he has that mindset, my first thought when I saw him this episode, this season, was he looks like he's getting too old for this shit.
He really does.
It's not so much his hair. It's not like he's graying out, but his face just looks tired.
Yeah, like you said, he's been working 80-hour weeks for years now, and he's still just chugging along. He'll never stop. He's one of those guys that will literally never stop. Mm-hmm. Even when he's at retirement age.
Yeah. He doesn't know what he would do.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he would do without mm-hmm. work.
But yeah, just as Canute's talking to Floki, we see Thorkell arrive. And he comes riding up, yelling at Canute. Mm-hmm. Calls him a freaking... How does he say... What is this word that he calls him? A freaking fraggle?
Yeah, it was like... I thought I was in an episode of SpongeBob, honestly, because there was a... Let me see if I can find it. He goes, "Why, you friggin' fraggin' little."
I know. I almost thought he was going to drop the F word there.
That would have been crazy if he did. I got to talk about, this was the... He comes storming up on the wagon, sure. The lamest and most over-the-top wagon exit I've ever seen in my life. He kills two horses... to just yell at Canute and say, "You friggin' fraggin' little." He doesn't do anything.
No. I mean, he's got to kill something, though, Ronnie, because war just stopped. They made a truce, so.
I don't even know how this is possible, honestly, with, like, horse and wagon, how he rode the horses so hard that they swerved off the road and, like, killed themselves.
Mm-hmm. He does give Canute a reality check, though. He tells Canute that he's still a nobody and he's not the king of England. And he even talks about he's going to have to get his hands dirty and he must kill to become one. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those situations where, yeah, Canute's going to have to do things that aren't in line almost, basically is what he's implying.
Which I think is kind of, I think he's wrong.
Think he's wrong on that?
Yeah, because he's just mad because Canute called him off. Like, he's saying you have to get your hands dirty. Canute did the hands dirty that he had to do to get into his spot, which is king. Like, he killed Askeladd, and because of that, he got his position. Once he's here, what does he have to prove now? He just commands everyone.
Well, as we see, he does do some more dirty things, I guess.
Yeah, but that's
officially.
Not what, you know, that's not what Thorkell was talking about.
No, not at all.
And it's also
he
not,
probably thinks that's the most bitch thing ever.
And it's also not Canute sneaking in and dumping a little stevia packet in someone's coffee.
Yeah,
he's just telling him to do it.
I guarantee you that Thorkell thinks that's the most bitch thing of all time.
Yeah, almost to the point where I was thinking of this when they kept dying from poison. Thorkell might turn on him.
Right.
That's like one of, I'm not going to be surprised to see that.
Yeah, Canute doesn't take offense to this, though, even though he's literally talking to the so-called king like that in front of everyone.
Yeah, I mean, Thorkell's already turned against the crown once just to go fight things.
Yeah, and Gunnar's like, oh, you're just going to take that? It's like, what are you going to tell Thorkell?
Yeah. You could tell eight guys to go, you know, pin him to the ground. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah. And Canute just says, though, he's an honest man. He obviously means what he says. And, like, right, what is he even going to do, even if he wanted to do
something?
Well,
because I was also going to say, oh, well, you could do what Canute's move is and poison him, but how much poison is it going to take to kill that guy?
Right. That's the question. Is it even possible to poison him? He seems like you would have to, like, hit him with a bear tranquilizer.
Yeah,
or
whatever. Multiple. Yeah. Multiple tranquilizers.
We move on to Gunnar sounding like he's having an orgasm of some sorts, because we see that Canute is standing in front of 4,000 pounds of silver with the leader of Mercia. And he's offering it to Canute to get them to withdraw and just get out of here.
Yeah, kind of another weak part of the episode here for me is because this whole thing is where this guy is going to be so loyal to Ethelred that he's giving him all this silver. And, you know, I do kind of like the whole Canute being like, oh, it's not enough, and really planting his feet, because it... Okay, so the one thing I like from this episode, and it happens multiple times as well as the murders of the other kings, it goes to show that Canute is doing this a different way than I think all these people have ever seen before. All these other kings, especially in this time period, were using pure brute force. Like, oh, they didn't do it, they just kill him. Canute's actually taking the time to, like, slow down and use mind, like, messing with him mentally.
Yeah.
Because these guys are giving him this stuff, and he's like, well, it's not enough, so basically, like, figure it out. And then he's not just storming in and declaring war with these other kings, but sneaking in and poisoning them.
So, yeah, 4,000 pounds. I mean, think about how heavy 4,000 pounds really is.
All right, let's see. I benched 535, so, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, like eight reps of my bench. That's, you know, for the average Joe.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
I mean, yeah, that's wild. I would be, if I was Canute, I'd be like, I don't want this. How am I gonna carry 8,000 pounds of silver back to...
Right.
Be like, I'll take this if you carry it for me. That's what I would say.
Like, how many different wagons do you think you need to spread out?
Oh, dude, so many. Think about how heavy... Just think about a wheelbarrow. And obviously, they're using horses and stuff, but think about a wheelbarrow of, like, 50 pounds to 100 pounds. Those things are not the easiest to do. Now do that times 40.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think you need at least... I mean, could you put 500 pounds, 1,000 pounds on each wheel or each wagon?
I'd say 500. That sounds about right, okay. Right? Because you'd think about it. You always get a few people and some luggage.
Yeah, you're going to have some other stuff on there, yeah. Yeah, so I think you could get the job done in 8 wagons.
But yeah, that's when he ends up getting him another 4,000 pounds to leave.
All right, we just did that math, but it translates. It translates. Yeah. We need 16 wagons.
But yeah, Canute is mad because this is his territory and he is the king. He came not for the wealth, but to slow down the rebellion. And then that's when some rando in the back speaks up and says, Ethelred is king. You are not the king. Ethelred is. When he's got literally Floki in here. They could instantly just kill him. Like, why would you even say that?
And it'd be one thing if it was actually a king who's been in power as long as Swain.
Yeah.
This guy's been what? He declared himself king a year ago, and that's being generous? So shut up, guy in the background that's going to step up and say that and try and make me care.
Yeah, that's when Canute says, hey, your king was a coward and fled 2 years ago, and now he just randomly came back.
Yeah, you know who's not a coward? Me.
Yeah.
I've been brave ever since I've been alive.
That would be tough, though, if somebody ran away and then they just randomly came back. And were like, all right, I'm going to be king now that Swain's gone.
It is badass, by the way, how Canute just takes a stroll on all this silver the whole time he's talking to these guys.
Yeah, that's one thing you can't do, though, is trip while you're on. I feel like it'd be easy to trip. If he would have tripped, instantly the negotiations are off.
Yeah, you can't come back from
that. No.
You can't slip on the coinage, fall, mm-hmm. and then get back up and be like, no, but seriously,
yeah,
two times as much as this.
I think if you slip and fall, you just go, Floki, kill them all.
Yeah. But Canute still, that's not his style, so he'd just be like, fine, we'll take the 4,000.
But yeah, he makes good points about it, and he's trying to get the man to betray King Ethelred or whatever. He wants him to go away, so he shows him a cup of wine, and obviously it's insinuating that he wants him to poison the king that he loves. And this guy is refusing. He's being loyal, so Canute's like, all right, Floki, this guy actually has backbone. Let's take a stroll outside. And that's when they go outside, and Canute sets fire to a, what is this called? Just a wooden tower type thing?
Yeah, like a wooden pillar, a stanchion. Is that a word? Stanchion? Something like that?
I don't know. That's a new word
wooden,
to me.
A wooden pyre.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like
and we
thing.
See, yeah, it's basically the signal to where we get multiple others around the entire land of Mercia.
I nailed it, by the way. Pyre, a heap of wood for burning a dead body. Now, they're not burning a dead body, but mm-hmm. they're sending signals, so.
And that's when Canute says, do you understand? I'll reduce this whole place to ash if you don't do what I say. Buy peace by offering me Ethelred's head. And yeah, this is one of those things where it's like, this guy should have known something like this was coming, but
this guy, you can't. And the fact that this guy's even going to act like he's going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the situation you're in, man. You got $4,000 just sprawled out across the floor as you're looking at Floki.
And that's the thing, too, is though, I think it does, Canute does respect this, but because Canute respects somebody that doesn't go against whoever they think is the king, but then at the same time, the guy ends up doing it anyways, so does he actually respect it?
Yeah, because Canute, well, right. I see what you're saying. Does he look at him as an honorable man, or is it the situation? Right. Yeah.
But if somebody's going to burn down your entire village, your entire land, you almost have to. I mean, at that point.
It's like the difference between, he didn't immediately fold, so maybe you go, all right, he turned cloak. We got to keep an eye on him, but he can still be a benefit to us. But he's also not as badass in going down like Thor's would. Like, if you say something like this to Thor's, the guy will just stand there and die. Now, we would have made fun of him if he was doing it for a king named Ethelred that we've never met, but yeah.
So, yeah. The next year in April of 1016, King Ethelred of England would die. He died of a mysterious illness.
Ooh.
His son Edmund then took the throne. and he caused troubles in wars, you know, for a few months.
All right, Edmund, let's go.
But 7 months later,
all hail King Edmund.
He unsurprisingly also died of a mysterious illness.
Oh, shit. Poor guy didn't even get a shot.
It took Swain 10 years to conquer this land, and with Canute, it's only been about 3, and he's already pretty much taken complete control.
So the way they're talking about it, or the way that they are narrating it, I'm interested, like, surely they just know, this is from Canute, or are they all so dumb in these times and just expect people to solve things by swinging swords that they're like, what is going on? What's going on?
Yeah, it's one of the... It does suck, because if you have no evidence at all, you can be like, oh, that death, something weird happened. But then at the same time, you can't just instantly say that they did it because you don't have evidence.
Right.
So I don't know. It's understandable. Ethelred looked pretty old. That one could be like, well, he was older. Like, he probably did get an illness. But when his son 7 months later gets
it's the double dip. If you had managed to just like strangle one of them by putting a pillow over their face, you'd be in the clear. But when you double dip like that, and the dog died earlier, it just looks pretty suspicious. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be on to him.
Yep. Canute is now going to be recognized as king. Thorkell doesn't want to hear it, though. He's getting his beer drinking ruined from, you know, one of his buddies talking about the situation. And then we flash forward to see that them finally accept King Canute and the rightful king in 1019 of England. So Canute is now king of England.
So yeah, I mean, that was awesome, because I was pretty frustrated halfway through this episode, or like when they're talking about, oh, we need you to poison the king. And guys like, oh, why? And then it just turns like that, where it's like, all right, those two guys are dead. He's recognized the king. And I go, oh, okay, we're back on track.
So yeah, now we're right where we want to be. We've got caught up with Canute. That was good that it was only one episode thing. So what is there now? Canute still has a brother out there. What is his brother's name? Harold?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Listen, Canute. Brother, you were starting to look more like a man, but what you can't do the blonde beard.
Well, it's not a beard, right? It's a goatee.
You can't do... Well, a goatee implies a mustache, right?
Okay, it's not a goatee. It's just a beard. Or no, it's a chin strap. Is that what they call it?
No, because it's a chin strap would imply a strap. It's a little bit more bold than a strap.
Yeah, what? I don't know what it's called. Style. It's a different type style. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Write into us if you know what this style is called, because I know I'm not. I shouldn't be allowed to talk about facial hair because I can't grow any. But one thing I do know is don't do that when you have blonde hair. First of all, it's a bad beard style to begin with. I just don't like that look. Yeah. And then when you get the blonde beard, ugh.
Because it almost does like a V shape too, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure does.
Very interesting. Yeah, I've got a little bit of a beard right now, but because I'm lazy, that is the only reason. I need to get rid of it and get it blended in my beard.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to start blending your beard.
No. Because when you grow up, my sideburns right here, see them?
Yeah.
If I don't blend that in, I'm gonna look like a, what is it called? Chops? They're going to look like chops.
No, I get you. It's just blending. You hear a guy talk about blending their beard.
Well, no, I'm not going to. I get my, since you said it earlier, my mom cuts hair, so I'm going to get her
and
to do it.
And that's even more lame.
Okay.
I mean, it is.
Oh, you don't get your mommy to help you out sometimes? You're lame.
Mommy, can you blend my beard? I need to get my beard blended this weekend. Because I'm so lazy.
Okay, fine. Well, I mean, would it be less lamer if I went to a barbershop and had a black man do it for me?
I mean, just think about this sentence right here. Yeah, if you went to a guy named Terry downtown.
Okay. Fuck, you're, I mean,
and
you're totally
were like,
right.
Yo, Terry, I just need to... And you don't say, I need you to blend my beard. You just got to need you to clean me up. He goes, all right, I got you.
No, you can't say that, brother, because then they'll chop some of my hair off.
But here's the thing. You don't know. You go, I need you to clean up my beard.
Okay, there
right?
you go.
You just got to know how to talk to Terry.
Can you blend my beard?
Now, if you go and say this sentence to your mom, people are going to start looking at you and quit listening to our podcast. If be go, "Mom, I need to stop being lazy. Could you blend my beard? This is me really going to action."
Damn, that's exactly how I was going to say it too.
You got anything else?
End of episode. No, I knew this would be a little bit quicker one because not much really happened in this.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that's okay. If you want more episodes, you want three more right now, go check out our Patreon. We got them on there, as well as our SpongeBob Chronicles. If you've been listening to that on the free feed, which you should be.
People are eating that shit up.
If you're going, "Oh, God, they're just saying, oh, wasn't that funny when SpongeBob did that?" First of all, yeah, we are doing that, which isn't great podcasting. But second of all, we're adding another layer to it. We're really diving deep.
We talk about, you know, SpongeBob's business endeavors.
We're getting into the minutiae of Bikini Bottom.
Check it out.
So check it out. Also, on the Patreon, learn a little something with Ronnie and Chad. We have a lot of fun. Check it out. I've been Ronnie.
I've been Chatty.
Peace.
Peace.